Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
But we're good, glad to have you here. Matthew chapter 11 is where we're going to be at. Starting just a brief series. It'll be several, probably for the month of what's left of September, not into October. We'll see how long it goes. But just talking about what health looks like, a healthy you. And the Bible has a lot to say about health, okay? And not when I mean health, I just don't mean physical health. I mean holistic health. And when you read through the Old Testament, it comes through a little bit clearer than maybe sometimes in the New Testament. But in the Hebrew mindset in the Old Testament was that God's Word would affect our body, our soul, and our mind. And I believe that when God is more than just concerned about our spirit or soul, He's also concerned about our body and our mind, our health. We know that if our emotions are out of whack, okay, say we have anxiety or depression, it affects us physically, does it not? It'll affect you spiritually. Okay? It affects those other parts. If there's something health-wise that is happening in our life, whether we have a health issue, I can remember one time, probably one of the most significant things is I hurt my back 12 years ago, and I still have consequences still today, but I remember just how that affected me in such a powerful way. I'm wondering how it's going to affect my future, and I was so laid up, I couldn't do anything, and just ruptured a disc, and it was a turning point in my life that affected how I looked at life, okay? And then even just going through pain, having pain in your life, it affects your outlook in life. It affects your emotions, and it affects your spiritual life as well. So we're going to look at different aspects of that, just as far as how we can incorporate God's Word and how it affects our lives. Now, the verses that Chuck read earlier in Proverbs, the two verses that I want to pull out of there in Proverbs 4:20-22, and then we're going to get to Matthew. Solomon is talking to his son. He says, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Okay? This is scripture. This is instruction. And he says, why? Because do not let them out of your sight. Keep them in your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Solomon says, you know what? If you pay attention to God's word and the word that God has given you, they are health and life to you. Not only just to your spirit, but to your body and your emotion as well. So, you know, I was just reading in the paper this past week, just, you know, the paper is full of just issues that people are dealing with in our world today, whether it's health issues, emotional issues. I could even question just the spiritual health of our nation and there also the spiritual health of individuals. But we have so much information on how to live well, and yet I think many times it eludes people. We have those goals out there. Many times we even know what to do, but how do we live that out in our life? Antidepressants are up, sleep aids, prescription drug use. I think they're all on the rise. Mayor Bloomberg in New York, what has he done? It's making news. He's passed legislation, so if you want to go to McDonald's, you're not going to be able to get the supersize anymore. You're just going to have to settle for the large, okay? You know, some of people are calling it the prohibition of fast food and whatever. It's causing a big stir. You know, people should be able to do what they want to do, eat what they want to eat. They just probably go back for refills, right? And so we have our issues. But if we're healthy in a holistic sense, in other words, body, soul, and mind, it not only helps us, but it helps our marriages, it helps our families. It helps our communities. It helps our nation. It kind of spills over. All right? Health. And so the next several weeks, we're going to talk about different aspects, different verses that talk about how Scripture impacts our life. And this morning, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 11, 28 through verse 30. And it's probably a passage that many of you have maybe heard or maybe growing up in the church. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. I don't know if many of us have actually experienced it or maybe even fully understand what Jesus was saying. And so I want us to look at that together, verses 28, 29, and 30. And Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word, that it is life to us and health. And I pray that you would take your word and apply it to our lives this morning, that we can leave with something that helps us tomorrow and today for the rest of the week. We give you the thanks. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. "Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The religion in Jesus' day, which was Judaism, okay, in Israel, and that's the people he was kind of rubbing shoulders with, that's where he lived. But the religion of that day was not helping people. It was not lifting the load and the burden of life that people carried. We all carry that, right? Life has its pressures, it has its challenges, whether it's raising a family, going to work, going to school. We all have those challenges. We call that the burden of life. And it was not helping their load at all. In fact, it was increasing the load that they carried. Now, the religion of that day came from Judaism, and it would be mainly taken from the five books of your Bible, the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That was their law. That was their book, the Word of God for them at that time. And then you have the prophets that would be added later in the New Testament. But what had happened is that they had gone beyond what God's Word had to say, and they began to add regulations and traditions and things that they added, saying, "You know what, you need to keep this, but you also need to do this, and you also need to do that, and do this as well." And those things carried as much weight as the Word of God itself. And so instead of helping the people on and helping them with the burden of life, the religion of that time actually increased the weight that they were carrying and the burden that they carried. It made things more difficult. You know, time has passed, but people are still dealing with some of the same issues that they were back then as we do now. We have school, we have work, we have school activities. Wow, you get kids and you get them in activities and stuff, and then the fun begins. Amy and I aren't going to know what to do when the kids are out of the house. We'll find things to do. But all the things that are happening, you have commitments, you have work. You know, and then you factor in now you add church to the mix. And I've actually heard that people are so busy that to add church to that is one more thing. You know, you have Sunday, maybe Wednesday activities, and their plate is full, right? And it comes back to, what did Jesus say? That religion, or what God has called us to do, should not increase our burden, but it should lift it. It should lighten our load. And that's challenged me as a pastor, that what we call us to do. Now, some of you can maybe relate to this guy that's going to be up on the screen there. And you got a picture of him, Chris, there? Yeah. You ever feel like that the burden of life is, it's just a little bit more and you can't quite get it off the ground, right? And in Jesus' day, they were putting more weights upon people and they were weary. They were exhausted. And in that word weary and burden really points to that the people were not just exhausted from a hard day's work, but it was a state of weariness. It was no end in sight. They felt a little bit of hopelessness that, you know, I'm going to feel the same way tomorrow. There's no end in sight. And the burden was heavy. And Jesus says, "Come to me." If you were in that state of weariness or difficulty, come to me and I'm going to help lighten your load. I'm going to help remove a few of those things so that it's something that is manageable, that you can handle. "I will give you rest," he says. Now that word rest in the Greek refers to more than just catching your breath after maybe a hard workout, or you go running and you catch your breath, you feel a little rested. It's more than that. He's talking about a total rejuvenation, renewal of body, soul, and mind. You ever felt that where you maybe had a weekend away and just from distractions and he left and he's kind of like, not only were you rested physically, but in your mind and in your spirit, you just felt rested. And that's what he's talking about here, is that he will give us rest as we come to him. And so the first principle I see, if you want to write them in your bulletin, it's in the inside there, or the points are there. The first is that we need to come to Jesus for renewal. Jesus says, come to me. That is the first step in finding renewal in your lives. And through his relationship, that relationship with God, and through Jesus, it includes probably spending time with him in prayer. That's how you maintain a relationship, right? Is if you're going to have a relationship, you have to communicate. And so prayer is communication with God. As we talk with God and as we spend time in his word, you know, you don't have to sit down and read God's word for, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day. I mean, you would benefit from that. But even just 10, 15 minutes, an hour, a half an hour, an hour in God's word is going to do you well. It's going to do you well. And it's going to help you in your body, your soul, and your mind. As we pray and as we read God's word, and even taking a day to rest. You know, there's that thing called the Sabbath day. And, you know, in the New Testament church, you know, it was so rigid in the Old Testament time that if people didn't follow it, it means, you know, they could be killed or, you know, stoned. I mean, they took it pretty seriously. And we've kind of gotten away from that in the New Testament. But see, the Sabbath day was not for God. Okay? It's not like God was saying, hey, here's one more rule for you guys to keep. The Sabbath day was for us, to help us to be restored and to be refreshed. And I realized that even on a day of rest, there's still dishes, there's family things. But still, to take a break from our work restores our body, our soul, and our mind. Jesus says, come to me for renewal. So does that really work? Yes, I believe it does. And I want us to go on further to see how that works. And so the second point comes from 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, when's the last time you used that word yoke? Other than when you were making eggs. All right, that's probably where he used it last. He probably didn't use it in the term that Jesus was using, but in biblical times, a yoke was a common thing. Okay, Chris, bring up some of those pictures. In fact, a yoke was a very helpful thing because it could help you carry maybe a load, things that you needed to carry. You know, instead of having your hands full, man, you just put that thing over your shoulder. And it made that task so much lighter and easier. It was effective in what it is able to do. It's a yoke. And it was also, it's also used in the expression of like for oxen or cows, where they, the purpose of a yoke there is to keep them pulling together and working together so they're not fighting against each other, but they're kept in tandem. And they say that, you know, in something like that, working together, they can accomplish far more work than two working separately because they're working together. And so the yoke helps to make the work easier, to make it lighter, to make it more useful. Now, the term yoke was also used for something else during Jesus' time. It referred to a school of teaching or philosophy or guidelines. And so some of the religious leaders had their own yoke, okay, guidelines and principles and philosophies that they would live off of. Okay, but here again, it was, instead of making their load lighter, guess what it did? It made their load heavier. It put more upon them and more upon them instead of lifting their load. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And see, the yoke that Jesus has is different from the rest. It refers to guidelines and teachings and attitudes that would help us in life. Now, in America, I believe we have our own yoke of our culture, okay? Okay, they had the religious leaders, but I think there's a yoke within our culture, attitudes and philosophies that we live our life by, and one of them is called the American dream. What is the American dream? Help me out. What's the American dream? All right. Car. Freedom? Yeah, freedom's a good one. Financial success. You know what? There's nothing wrong with any of that. Nothing wrong with any of that. But I can tell you what, that some people in pursuit of the American dream are making themselves weary and tired because they're trying to keep up with the yoke of the world instead of living according to the principles that are found in God's Word. Are you following me on that one? I have no problem with any of that. But when that becomes our pursuit, when that becomes our goal, in the end, when we finally get it, we're tired, exhausted, and we say, you know what? I worked all that time. I put in all that effort for this, for something that isn't going to satisfy or take care of what's on the inside. And some people, when they get there, they lose their health because of it. So the second principle I see is take up His yoke. And this includes our outlook on life, our priorities in life. And see, as we get into God's Word, we begin to see what Jesus' yoke is about. And it helps us to get our priorities right. It's not that some of these things are wrong, but it brings us back to maybe sometimes a simple life and to help us to get our priorities straight, to really focus on the things that are eternal, that are going to matter when we leave this earth, and to keep things in perspective. And so it involves looking at His life through His lens, the lens of Scripture and through the teachings of Jesus. Now, I have glasses. I'm one of those people that has glasses. Okay, now I take these off. You guys, I can see your figures. I cannot see the color of Joe's eyes. I can see his beard there. Okay, but he's pretty blurry. All of you are pretty blurry. But I put on these glasses, and now I can probably see the color of your eyes. I can see your expression. Okay? I can see your facial features, your smiles. I can see all that because it's been brought in perspective. And that's what God's Word helps us to do, is it helps to bring life into perspective and to really focus on what is important and to see clearly what's important in life. Now, one of the greatest inventions, I'm not sure, I should have did a little more research on that. I did some research. But one of the greatest inventions was the pulley. You ever used a pulley before? And we got a picture of it, just different designs of a pulley. And pulleys are incredible things. I mean, you try lifting a 200-pound load on your own, and you try to lift it with a pulley, especially if it has the four wheels or whatever. Man, it's like, it's a breeze. And I understand there's a formula, and, you know, I still don't get why how it reduces the load. You're still lifting the same amount of load, but it distributes the weight. It makes it lighter. A pulley does. You know, and it's a simple invention. And in my mind, it doesn't always make sense how it works, but it does work, does it not? You ever experienced it? You know what? I don't always understand. It may seem kind of simple to say, you know what, come to Jesus and get into God's Word and apply those principles in life. And you say, does it work? It seems so simple. It's just like the pulley. Yes, it does work. It does work in life. And it'll help lessen our load as we come to God and we seek His face. There's a third point. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And then He says, learn from me. In the Greek, that it means to learn, but also just to imitate. He's calling us to imitate what He's called us to do. To imitate His lifestyle, His actions. And how He lived His life. Now, when Jesus came to earth, that was a beautiful thing because we got to see the Word of God lived out in human form. We got to see how God lived His day. Okay? And we weren't eyewitnesses of it, but there were some that were, and they wrote down in the Gospels what His day looked like. And so we can see into how God lived His life. We can, in some ways, imitate His principles, His philosophies, His teaching, His lifestyle. Now, was Jesus different from the rest of the world? Yes, He was, in how He lived His life. He was different from the religious leaders during that day. And here's some ways. Jesus was busy, okay? Just think about it. Jesus had all the crowds coming after Him from morning till evening. They were coming, they were bringing the sick, and He healed them. And He took time for people, and He'd be going from one place to the other, and He'd have interruptions. Instead of pushing people aside, He took time to minister to them. He had a very busy schedule, but I never see any place where Jesus ran or that He was rushed. Try figuring that one out. Jesus was busy, but it says that he still took time to get away and to pray and to be with God the Father, because he realized that in the midst of a busy schedule, that was important, to get away and to spend time with God, to keep his life balanced and to keep it centered. The religious leaders were concerned about appearances, how they looked out in front of everybody. They wanted to look spiritual and like they had it all together. What was Jesus worried about? Jesus was worried about his heart and his relationship with God. And so he took time to model those priorities in his life. He didn't have kids. This week they said, he might have a wife. I don't know. I can see Da Vinci Code number 2 coming up. All right. The religious leaders were concerned about following every aspect of the law. Jesus focused on his relationship with God. And he realized that it was out of obedience and love for God was the motivation for doing things. Not because I have to, but because I want to. And as Jesus lived his life before us, it helps us to imitate what he did. And he says, take up my yoke. Not the yoke of the religious leaders, not the yoke of this world, but take up my yoke. And as we get into God's Word, I think that's what we'll cover over the next few weeks. Just what did Jesus actually say? What were some of the priorities that we need to be focusing on? That it'll help to simplify life, that it'll help bring health and healing and wholeness to all of our life, our body, our soul, and our mind. Lastly, Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to have the musicians come. Now, I think most of your Bibles say my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is that what everybody says? And easy is probably not the best translation there. And the problem is we don't have a word in the English language that really transfers across well to what the Greek word is. And so easy is the one that they go with. Some of the scholars I looked at said a better translation of that word would be kind, good, or useful. In other words, the yoke of God is kind to us. It's not burdensome, but it's kind. It's useful. And see, I like that word because isn't that what the yoke was supposed to do? It was supposed to be a useful tool that helped to make our load lighter. And that's what Jesus says, that when you come to me and when you have a relationship with me and you live your life according to my word, not according to what culture says important, but what I say important, my yoke, you're going to find out, you know what? Life's a little bit easier. It's lighter. It's not so wearisome. The load is lighter. And you can learn from me. Jesus doesn't put something out there and say, you do it and I'm going to watch. But he lived it before us. Amen? Would you stand this morning? I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I encourage you just to pray it along with me. Just inviting God into our daily life. And I believe that in a group this size, there's some of you that came in with some pretty heavy burdens here this morning. Some of you are even weary. Maybe some of you are to the place where you want to quit and give up. Maybe you don't show it on your face or how you dress this morning. Maybe you've told nobody except for yourself. But I do know that God understands. And he says, if you come to me, learn from me, take on my yoke, I can give you a rest and rejuvenation that you're not going to find anywhere else. It means we still have to go to work, okay? Still have to go to class, students, okay? Still have the work of raising kids and all those things. But that load will be kinder. It'll be easier. Will you pray with me? Just say, dear God, we invite you into our life today. Father, help us to learn from you. Lord, make your word come alive to us. And help us to see what is important in the eyes of eternity. Lord, help us to see from your word and your relationship that'll make our Lord light and restore us on the inside. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We're going to close with this song. Henri, would you just make that your prayer this morning? And we encourage people just to allow God. This is the time where we've had the spoken word. Now we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit just to take what is spoken. Maybe just allow Him to speak that into our life. Confirm maybe what has been spoken.